Good morning. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. Good morning. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a Thought for Today. Good morning. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a Thought for Today. Good morning. Hey, wake up. What is all this repetition, repeating? Got Alzheimer's or something like that? No. Did I repeat? Did I say the same thing over again? Did I tell you the same joke I've told you 6 times this morning? I like the joke. So I tell it, as often as I can. You think I'm silly. But hey, I like my joke. And it's one that I can remember. How many jokes can you remember and tell? Huh? Well, Alzheimer's is quite popular to read about these days, and it's a state of mind where we have allowed ourselves to not take control. Now, I was kidding Ellen this morning, as her dog, Little Love, was barking at the bushes because he couldn't see over the bushes, but he was seeing through the bushes to something down below, which apparently was a neighbor dog's walking by or something like that. And he was talking to them, and he was saying, "Hey, what are you guys doing? Come on, invite me, won't you? My mother never lets me go out to play." And she doesn't. She always keeps them on a leash. So I said to her, "Ellen, you are a shame. You are really a pitiful shame." And Ellen said, "What did I do?" "How old is Little Love?" "Well, he's, 6 years old, 9 years old? Something like that." "I'm talking about you, Little Love, yeah." And I said, "Well, you mean you haven't taught him how to speak human yet? You've taught him Latin, you've taught him French, you've taught him German, you've taught him Swiss, you've taught him all these things, but you haven't taught him how to speak human yet, you know?" And she said, "Well, what do you mean?" And I said, "Well, he comes up to you, 'Mommy, give me some lessons in speaking human. I'm busy. I'm meditating,' Mommy says." He goes up to his mommy. He says, "Mommy, teach me how to speak human. I'm busy. I'm cooking the meal. Can't you tell? Get out of my way." And every time he came up to his mother, with all the sincerity of his heart, wanting to learn and grow like children do, And she said, "You are a dog and you cannot learn how to speak human." And so he never learned how to speak human. And all he does is just go around and arfing, and we have to translate it and interpolate it and figure out what's going on. And on a YouTube program the other day, I was watching, and somebody sent it to me. He said, "This is so great." Well, it was a dog, this stupid dog, sitting on the bed, and you can see someone speaking to the dog, and someone says, "Good boy." And the dog goes, "Oh, good boy." And it sounded something like "good boy." And then, did you see it? And then she spoke to it again and says, "I'm hungry." And the dog said, "I'm hungry." And it just sounded really like "I'm hungry," but it was sort of, doggish talking, And then she told him a lot of other little things. And the dog was quite able to do this. Now, the dog could train its larynx, its ability to speak and enunciate and say things and copy things. Now, what other animal does that sort of thing? A parrot. A parrot has been taught and has learned to mimic human words and human sentences. And the way they do it, they try to make the parrot sound like it's intelligent, like it is thinking too, like it's creating sentences and doing things, and perhaps it is, and we don't even know it. But I had a letter from a man in Nigeria, a very erudite fellow, and he says, "You read this article about the brain and the mind, and how the mind is limited in how that it can communicate with the brain, how the brain is limited, and how it can communicate with the mind. And he said, how can this be? How can there be a limitation? And I said, well, the limitation, I mean, to myself as I read it, I haven't answered him yet. I said, well, our brain is a computer, and it will respond to any program we put in it, any software that we put in the brain. It doesn't care. The brain can be an Einstein brain. It can be a stupid brain. It can be any kind of brain, you know. It can be a brain just interested in veterinarians, or a brain just interested in archaeology, or a brain just interested in cooking, you know, or just interested in sex, you know. It doesn't really matter. Sex, what do you bring that up for? Well, that's something that people spend a lot of time on, and they think about it, and then they wonder why they're always thinking about it, because they're thinking about it. Some people think about food all the time. Have you noticed that? Some people are very good at thinking about food. Some people think about mathematics. Name the subject. Well, we'll get back to the dog and the parrot in a few minutes. But think about it. Here you have the brain able to do all these things. Now, they say that in autopsies that they have held, checking out people after they have died on the size of their brain and other things about them, because there's research that they were genius people. They had permission to do research into them, figure out, you know, is their brain larger than other people's brains and things like that. Well, they found that many times, and this is, you know, a number of times to be counted, that the brain of an absolute whoopee-doopee genius is smaller than the brain of a normal person for that same age. Smaller, much smaller. And then you look at an ant and you think, where is its brain, you know? And you look at other creatures. You look at a mite. You know what a mite is? That's a little thing that's in your in your bed threads, you know, like a bed bug. And you look at the teeny things that are crawling around in your microscope. Very tiny. Now, how big a brain do they have? Well, their brain is big enough to handle the things they have to do. Well, is it the matter the brain is big enough? What is science doing today? Come on now, tell me. What's science doing? It's making the brain smaller and smaller. What's that? Yes, it's making the brain smaller and smaller. But the brain? It's making the brain smaller and smaller and smaller. You know, that's the computer. Mm-hmm. Science is making the computer chip smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And having more and more and more and more on it. Unlimited. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we are worried the size of our brain? Silly people. It's not the brain. It's how we can utilize the software that is available to us. Now, what is the software that's available to us from the mind, let's say? The mind is the library of the software of all knowledge, of all the allness, the knowingness, the isness, you know? Mm-hmm. Pretty cool, huh? Okay, the mind is the library. Now, what do you go to the library to get from their software? Do you go and get books on sewing, you know, on knitting? Do you go get books on raising dogs or raising children? Do you go get books on being a genius? And how interesting. Now, is there any limit to the number of books in the library or to the content of the books in the library? None whatsoever. The only limit is what? Our choice. Now, what is our choice? What is our choice in doing this? Now, what is the dog's choice in communicating? Do you remember? Remember back in the early prehistoric days? When man, you know, they couldn't speak to each other. And what did these silly men do? They'd grab the woman by the hair and drag her home and say, I want you. Well, after a while, she said, I wish you would speak a little more kindly to me and be a little more loving, you know. And he said, well, hey, when did you learn how to talk? Well, when you learned how to listen, you know. Well, how interesting. Cavemen could not speak and articulate because they did not train themselves to do it. And as late as the Hebrews, they could not write. They could not read. They had nothing to read, and they had nothing to write. They didn't know, had no language with which to write. Oh, they could talk to each other, but their communication was not as articulate as ours is today. And our communication is very inarticulate. We do not speak as precisely, as clearly, as articulately as we can, because we're slovenly. Now, what a waste of our genius, you know? Okay, now. This woman who was teaching her dog how to speak, or at least having the dog mimic her, that's what the cavemen first did. They mimicked each other. They mimicked what they said, and they mimicked the words. And so, once you have a vocabulary, once you have an ability to articulate your thoughts and ideas, you can communicate with the world what you're thinking. You can begin to draw upon the infinite storehouse, the infinite library of the mind, all the knowledge that it has, and use it to express yourself. Now, when are you going to start doing it for you? When are you going to start going to school? It's not a matter of going to university or colleges and schools. It's a matter of going to the library of your mind. It's a matter of going in and saying, I know that I know that I know, and you will know everything. It's just that simple. But are you willing to articulate that? Are you willing to really say that? Are you willing to really put that down in black and white and apply it? Does my dog understand me? I say no. I say Rex understands simple words, come, go, sit, you know, quiet, I love you. Oh, I love you. Does he understand that? You know? Does he understand that? And does he understand a snuggle and a cuddle? Oh, my goodness sake. Does he understand scratching his tummy while he stretches back? Yes, you know. Does he? Hey, that's all part of communication. Mm-hmm. Now, Where's our communication? Do you, every morning, give yourself an energy massage? Do you tell your body how much you love it? Every single morning, going over every inch of your body, just tickling it and saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. And your body says, ooh, yes, yes, yes. What will you have me do today, Master? How do you want me to be today? Whole and perfect? Well, I thought I had a hurt toe the other day. Oh, you want it? No. I like a whole and perfect toe. Okay. Stem cells, you know, undifferentiated, waiting to be told what to do. So, okay, the body says, whatever you say, that's what I am. Now, where'd you get that idea? That came out of your infinite library of the infinite mind that you are, the allness of, you know. Now, we can teach our dogs and cats to speak. That's really quite simple to do. Some people do it. The early Hebrews, they did not write, and so they memorized things. Now, what was going on in memorizing these things? That's what we tell our Alzheimer's patients to do. Get interested in chess and get interested in things that are utilizing the mind, making the brain as a more open channel to the infinite knowledge of the mind, you know. And so, how do we do that? They say that if you will go jogging every day, if you go running every day, if you just run, that your mind will become clearer and clearer and clearer. And you think to yourself, if they know that, why don't they do that? Because it's a bother. It's a bother. It says in a report, the most dangerous drug on the market for the human body, which absolutely destroys the human body, is Coke. Believe it or not. Coke. the most dangerous drug on the human and the body and the market for the body. And how interesting that is. And how some people dote on it and love it. And you think to yourself, oh, don't they know? Sure. It's a drug. Oh, their minds are clear. They're sharp. They're brilliant. They're wonderful. But the thing is, they are undifferentiated. And an undifferentiated mind is a mind that is not defined as to where it is going, what it is doing. Can you say, I know that I know that I know? And if you say that, then you know. But if you say, yes, I know that I know, and I just know everything, and I say everything, and I am knowledgeable about everything, but I have no application. I have no application. Now, what application do you want in your knowledge? You want to be a dog that can say, I love you. You know, the Flintstones and stuff, they had their animals doing these sort of things, you know. And that's natural, because they were the cavemen, and they were communicating to each other that way. They're communicating to their pets that way, you know. Interesting. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California, with a Thought for Today. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California, with a Thought for Today. Isn't that fascinating? Where is it going? Where is it taking us? That's pure Alzheimer's type stuff, you know. The genius, just like President Reagan was absolute genius and beyond genius. He was just great. But somewhere along the line, he allowed himself to get Alzheimer's. And you know how it happened? You know how it happened? He stopped being athletic. He was a very athletic man. He was always out riding his horses, always out running, always out walking, always out doing things. He was involved in everything. Anything that came along, he became the president of it, including the United States. A most amazing man and brilliant. Then, when he got out of office, there went all of his motivation, all of his drive, all of his need to be wanted, his need to be applying what he's doing. He needed to retire to another job after he retired from president. But he didn't. He just retired, and his wife says, now you take it easy, you take it easy. She was a loving, you know, perfectly wonderful woman. But she didn't know that she was killing him by taking away his motivation to be active and do things. When you retire to your easy chair and the television, death is soon to follow. Now, you say, man, that's not very nice. Well, that's what it is. Live with sparkle and joy and harmony. Live with dynamics in your life and your being. Get out and do things. Stumble, fall, break your legs, have fun. But the thing is, be active. And when you're active, great things happen. Dorothea, when she was active, running around, doing things, she was alive and alive in her 80s and 90s and doing fine. And then someone loved her and wanted to take care of her. And she didn't have to drive anymore, and she didn't have to go anymore, and she didn't have to do anything. And as she did this, she just declined. She declined in her desire to live. And death is soon to follow, unless she finds a new motivation. Now, she may. She may. If her friend who is taking care of her had a problem and had to have her take care of him, my goodness, all of a sudden she'd come alive. She'd have something to live for. I'm not saying that we should have people to care for, to live for, but I am saying that we need something to live for. Now, if Beatrice finds something to live for, getting a beautiful Apple computer and learning how to use the Apple computer and becoming proficient in it and becoming a genius in it and starting to write the book of her life and the book of the world and starting to put out volumes of poetry and starting to do all this stuff. And her husband said, but dear, I want to go to the movies tonight. You go ahead, sweetheart. I'm writing. I'm doing my thing. And that's her life. That's her life. Or her death. Her death is soon to follow if she takes the easy route on every step that she goes. That's her. That's up to each of you. That's up to each of you. All of you have done your damnedest to keep me from going into Apple because I'm a PC person, because, you know, then you have to learn a little bit about Apple to take my stuff. But the thing is, how am I doing? How am I doing? Am I getting older or am I getting younger?
Yeah.
Am I getting sort of like a jerk? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a nerd. Isn't that wonderful? Just call me Herbie the Nerd, and I'll say, go for it. What?
Like Martino, who watched you diving under the water and swimming under water, and said, unbelievable, unbelievable.
And he didn't see me do anything.
No.
He should come with me to the ocean. Now, that's where it's really fun to dive and swim. So, don't give up. You have just begun to live, and you laugh at me when I tell you you've just begun to live, but you have. Because you should be living thousands and thousands and thousands of years. You shouldn't be living just hundreds of years, hundreds. You wish that it were so. Just under 100. I mean, to go 100, people say, wow, you know, you must be an old coot. You know, you can't walk, and you can't, and that guy can outwalk anybody. Because he got to be 100 by being active, by loving life and enjoying it. My friends, if only to put new programming in your brain, only to use the library of your mind, not the Library of Congress, but the library of your mind, the infinite mind, start teaching your dogs and cats how to talk.
Okay.
And watch how soon they'll be able to walk.
And talk.
And even use chalk. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.